Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Still Small Voice. I am Sharon Hurst, and it is so good to be back with you. I know that a lot of you have been going through some trials and tribulations, and you've been having a hard time holding on. Well, you know what? We have a wonderful guest on the show today that's going to share her amazing story about how she got through her crisis and how the Lord just ministered to her spirit and shared some inspirational ideas and instilled things within her. That helped her to get over the hard times that she was going through. But before we talk to this amazing guest, I want to share today's word with you. Because when I sent this word out this morning, I got some wonderful replies from you. And it made me just rejoice to just know that you're still out there holding on, even though you're going through the hard times. You're holding on and letting the Lord know that you're going to stop looking down and you're going to rise up. So listen to this word. It is time for my people to rise up and stop looking down at the ashes and counting their woes and their pain. It is time for them to lift their heads up and look to me. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from me, the maker of heaven and earth. I am the one who has healed you, who has removed sickness from your midst. I am the one who removed oppression from your life, who brought you joy in the midst of the pain. And I am the one, I am the Lord that can still do it again. Many of you are asking, when, Lord? Well, I'm saying it's already yours. Believe that you have received what you've prayed for. I'm calling my people to rise up and continue proclaiming the truth of what is already theirs. Do not allow the enemy to sow seeds of fear and lies into your life, but speak in faith to your circumstances and don't stop speaking when things don't happen on your time, but be prayerful like Daniel and stay before me and watch the power of my word change your situation. Rise up from your ashes, for they will not bring you freedom. Your ashes will only push you deeper into oppression and fear. Many of you have heard the words, a new day, and have been wondering, well, when is this new day coming? When will the sun shine on my circumstances? I speak to you today to give you hope. Do not be discouraged because the day has become darker instead of brighter in your life. Haven't you heard? It's always darkest before the dawn. The sun truly is about to rise on many of your lives and circumstances. I am fighting for you. I am interceding for you. Just continue to stand on my word. Remember that no harm shall come to you, and no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Continue standing in faith, and don't allow fearful thoughts to enter your mind. Take every thought captive. And no matter how your body feels, and no matter how your circumstances look, stand firm on my word and continue to confess your breakthrough. Continue to confess victory in the face of the adversary. Breakthrough is so close. Don't give up now. You've heard it said that it is coming. Well, it's closer than you think. The darkness in your life has increased because it's about to turn into dawn. The day is about to break. So step out of your ashes. Look up. Look up and rejoice. And do not stop believing. And you know, this is what we have to do no matter our circumstances. I have a guest today that had to do this very thing in her life. We have a guest today and her name is Marilyn Vanderstay. Marilyn is going to talk to us about Inside the Healing Journey. Marilyn and I met over the internet. I have truly been blessed. I love the internet. I've met some beautiful and anointed people over the internet. And this is how Marilyn and I met as well. And as she and I talked and she shared her amazing story, there was no doubt I needed to bring her on the Still Small Voice so she can share with you what the Lord has did in her life, the things that she went through, and how she never gave up. So welcome to the show, Marilyn Vanderstay. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Sharon. I'm so delighted to be here. It's been a while coming, and here we are.
Yes, we are finally here, and I am so excited. We even had a great time on the phone yesterday talking about the many things that the Lord has blessed you with, and how he just came in and worked a miracle in your life. So I want you to just go ahead and just open up the show and let you go ahead and share with our listeners the things that the Lord has brought you through and how he miraculously healed your body.
Well, I was 34 years old. On a Friday evening, I went to bed and I looked like slim. And the next morning I woke up and I looked like I was ready to deliver a baby. And within a week, my life had changed completely, because within a week I was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, dysgerminoma, which is a very rare and very virulent form of ovarian cancer. And did the treatment for that. We're going to talk about the four decisions I made right then. But then after I finished the treatments, within a half a year, I was diagnosed with a metastasis to my right lung. And after having dealt with that, and that's a whole story where I turned down treatment and God showed me what to do, and the cancer completely went away, not even a scar. And then within a year after that, a metastasis to my brain, and that was a whole saga in itself. They wanted to write me, to put a DNR on me. They wrote me dead on arrival, and extreme brain damage. My neuro has never seen anybody come back from that kind of damage the way I have, praise the Lord. And then within 2 years, a second metastasis to my brain, and then being called healed, and then a second primary in my bladder. And here I am 26 years later, Sharon, and
yes,
healed, made whole, and virtually the brain damage is dissipated also. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord, you have had an amazing journey. And just even now listening again to what you have gone through, you know, I just started shivering and thanking the Lord, you know, that you are still with us today to share this story. Now, one thing, you know, I know how I am when I get bad news, but what you went through, it can't compare to anything that I've ever gone through. So when you were in that doctor's office, and he gave you this diagnosis, you shared with me that there were four life-directing decisions that you decided to make right then. And I am amazed that you were composed enough to make these decisions right then after all that he had just shared with you. So will you share with us those four life decisions that you made?
Well, I will, but first I want to say that 6 months before, I had prepared myself, and this is why it's so important to stay constant in the Word during the
yes,
good times and the bad times, because
yes,
it's during the good times that you build up your spirit so that when crisis comes, you don't have an empty pool to empty. Like,
amen.
It's not, you know, you have it, it's full. So you have something to draw from. And so that's why I was so composed, because I had spent 6 months in the Word, not knowing what I was preparing for, but preparing for it. So when I was in the doctor's office and he told me the news, and he said, I'm going to give you a few minutes to pull yourself together. And I didn't even fall apart. I didn't even, you know, go, I'm sobbing. But I made four decisions, and the first one was, and I declared it, I would not die but live, and covenant with the Lord that I would declare those works and recount his the illustration acts of his word. At Psalm 118, I will live and not die and declare the illustrious acts of the Lord. The second decision I made was that I would be the best patient I could be, because I didn't want to become a burden to my family and friends. And I just really wanted to walk through this as a woman of faith. The third decision I made was that I would do whatever it took to get healed. And I'm beyond standing on the word, there's often times where you have to put your hands to things. And I covenanted that I would do whatever it took. And I had no idea then, because this was 26 years ago, we didn't know about alternative and complementary medicine the way we do now. Today we take it for granted. Today we take healing scriptures for granted. But that wasn't like that then. And so that led me into complementary medicine, which is not voodoo. It's actually working with what God has created to rebuild your body. And then the fourth decision I made and was very emphatic was that I would trust God to heal me. That Jesus,
Amen.
The healer, would heal me. And that I would receive it, because since then I learned that I'm already healed. I just have to receive it, because he's already done everything he has to do. We just have to receive it.
Amen. And that goes back to that scripture, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So we have to believe that we are already healed.
Absolutely.
You know, because that is why the Lord, he hung, bled, and died. It's by his stripes that we are healed. And
not
we have to
will be.
Are healed. And we have to claim that when our body is aching, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what that doctor is telling us, we have to claim the victory in the name of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And Marilyn, I like what you said, that before, months before you went to the doctor's office, oh, thank you, Jesus, that you were in the word, you were praying, you just let that word just saturate in you, and you were already praising him and thanking him, you know, not even knowing what was going to happen, but the word was already in you, it was rooted in you. And I think that's where we sometimes miss it. You know, we take everyday things for granted, but if we continually feed ourselves with that word, stay in that word, and just wake up thanking in the Lord and keeping ourselves encouraged.
Yes.
When hard times hit, they won't hit us so bad because we've already got something to lean on, you know?
It's like a bank account. If you don't put money in the bank, you don't have anything to withdraw. You know, you're putting it into your spiritual bank account, into your spiritual account, so you have it to withdraw when crisis comes.
Amen. Amen. And that is exactly what you did. Your bank account was full.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. So after you made all of these, you made these decisions, what thoughts went through your mind after you left that doctor's office that day?
Well, it wasn't, in Philippians it says, God, peace shall be yours. And
yes.
I just really had the peace of God.
Mm.
It wasn't like, what am I going to do now? It was, okay, what are we going to do now? And so the first thing we did was, and I love the way God works, because it just so happened, you know, it just so happened that weekend, because this was a Wednesday, that weekend, there was a meeting of the men's business, Christian men's business fellowship, and my husband was a part of that, and so we went to it, and it just so happened that the speaker that day was a man who had a real healing and deliverance ministry. And so I went there, and my friends were all there, and so I had people to lock my faith with. And so we went there, and within days of the diagnosis, I was prayed for, not only by this minister who I knew personally and knew could lock my faith with, hook my faith up to, but also the room was filled with friends. So I had a whole room full of people within 2 days of the diagnosis. And that's why it's so important to fellowship with people that you can agree with in prayer, so that when crisis comes, you have people to contact.
Amen. Amen. And the Lord truly surrounded you with some truly good friends. And I also like what you said, that you'd made up your mind that you were not going to be a burden to your family, those that were trying to take care of you. And I know sometimes with crisis like this, it's sometimes hard to do. It's hard to do.
My daughter's complaint is that I made it look too easy.
Oh, my.
Because I had set my mind up that I wasn't going to be a complainer. Because what does complaining get you? This way I got to carry, I put my face on, my whole makeup. I dressed for my radiation treatments as if I was going to work. So I didn't look like, oh, a sad little patient when I went to the cancer treatment. I looked like I was a business person who this was part of her day.
And you know what, Marilyn, that also helped me right after I had the stroke and I was going in for therapy. I would make myself, even though I didn't, sometimes I didn't feel like it,
no.
I would make myself get up and get dressed as if I was still going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And she was amazed that I was doing that. And I told her, if I don't, you know, do this to myself, I feel like a part of me was going to fall apart. So get, yeah. And that is one thing that we should do. Keep ourselves up the best that we can,
exactly.
You know,
maintain our personas.
And that's it. And I started telling myself that, okay, I'm home now. So I would get up every morning and I would get dressed. I would put my face on, like I put my face on because, okay, the Lord has to look at me every day. So I wanted to look like you. I wanted to look my best. Okay. He's going to be looking at me. So I'm going to do my best to look my best for him. And because if we can do it for man, why can't we do it for him?
Exactly.
That is so amazing. Now, as you were going through this healing journey, there is something else that you developed that was part of your plan for getting out of your crisis, and you call it your fire drill plan. And I read through that, and I love that. So can you start walking us through that fire drill plan?
Well, absolutely. The first thing is don't panic. Because and this goes back to when we were in school and we used to do fire drills, you know, in case there was a fire in the school or in Montreal bomb threats. And you have to make a plan. And this is something that you do before crisis, to the point that I even suggest people have a bag by the door, like a handbag or a canvas bag, where they have a notebook and a pen. And so that when crisis comes, because it does come, just because we're believers doesn't mean the crisis doesn't come, but
Amen.
We're prepared. And so in that bag, you have a list of all the medications you're on, but also a notebook and a pen, so that if you go to the hospital for you or for a loved one or for a neighbor or whatever, you can take notes. And so that's don't panic. You grab the bag and you go. And the other thing is that in a crisis, the person that gets you through is the person that doesn't can't panic. The leader becomes the person who keeps their head and says, we're going through, we're not going to crash, we're going through. And that person becomes the leader. And you have to become that person, because otherwise you'll just get swept up in the panic. And so you're the one who doesn't panic. And then secondly, what is the diagnosis? What are you dealing with? Identify the real problem. Is the real cause of the crisis what the situation is, or is it just a symptom of a bigger problem? Because that is what you're going to have to wrestle with, is the bigger problem and not the symptoms. And then thirdly, find out what God has to say about the situation.
Amen.
So if it's healing, find out what he says in his word about healing. What are the healing scriptures? And I have to tell you, 26 years ago, you couldn't go to the internet and click in healing scriptures. There wasn't the proliferation of, I mean, we're so blessed now. But 26 years ago, we'd speak to people and we'd get a healing verse here and look it up and highlight it and underline it and write it out. And we'd have something to stand on. And then somebody else would send us a healing scripture and we'd write it out. And we built our arsenal of scripture verses to stand on. But you go to the Word and you may even say to God, you know, there's a proliferation of verses. Which one do you want me to stand on? So for cancer, I really like, and I don't have the address of it, but every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up.
Yes.
Because cancer has a root system. So you speak that word over it.
Yes.
And so find out what God has to say about the situation. And also in prayer and in listening to him and what he's saying specifically to your situation. which scripture verses to stand on, and also about the situation itself. When I was diagnosed with the lung cancer, the metastases of the lung cancer, and you're noticing I'm not saying my lung cancer, but the lung cancer.
Yes, I noticed that. I noticed that.
I never took ownership. When I was diagnosed, God told me, you can't do the treatment because you've just finished 25 radiation treatments. Your body hasn't healed enough to do more treatments. And I didn't listen to him, and I did do the treatment. He said, your blood white count will go down too low. And they said, we can't continue the treatments because your blood white count has gone down too low. And they said, I said, that's it. I'm not doing any more treatments. They said, you will be dead in 3 months, and it'll be a painful dead. God brought me barley grass and wheatgrass, and I started doing that religiously, even though I'm not a religious person. And 3 months later, I was at a writer's conference in Chicago.
My Lord. Look at the Lord moving. At the Lord moving. Wow.
Then the fourth thing you can do is write a contract. And there you take all the verses that you can find, and right now it's so easy, and I'm going to actually put a contract on the site. It's not there yet, but I will do that. And you write a contract. And we wrote a contract of all the scripture verses that we had at that time pertaining to healing. And then, and this is the confidence that we have in God, that that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you know it's his will because you found the scripture verses, you hear us. And if you hear us, we know confidently that this boldness and assurance of confidence that we have in him, we know that you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, then because he says that if you pray and asking for something in his will, you receive it, that we also already have received what we've asked of him.
Amen.
And so we found that verse, and we made a contract with God, and we actually had a nurse sign it to make it legal because it was witnessed. And we went into the surgery with a contract. Now, did it end up the way we had thought maybe it would, that the doctors would go in and it would be, it would all be gone? No, he went in and it was worse than he anticipated. Mm. But it was already under the covenant. God
Amen.
Was dealing with it.
Amen.
A contract is a covenant. And Amen. So the fifth thing research everything you can about the cause and possible solutions. And we know that, you know, we cast our burdens upon the Lord, but it also says that God blesses everything we put our hands to. And sometimes it's because, like the word also says, that my people perish because of lack of information, because of lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because of ignorance. So it's our responsibility to find out everything we can about that. Now, it's a lot easier again today than it was 26 years ago.
Yes, yes.
But, I mean, we really are blessed today. It's all at our fingertips, literally. And so find out everything you can about the cause. And then based on that and on the word, you make a plan. You make a plan of how you're going to deal with it. And then here's the part. Work the plan.
I mean, work the plan, yes.
Yeah, that's the hard one. It's easy to make the plan, and then I'll do this, and then I'll do that, and this is what it says. But then we have to work the plan.
You've got to work the plan.
Stand on the word. We have to confess the word. We have to, sometimes we have to do those treatments even when we don't want to do those treatments.
Yes,
and each one is different. You know, I'm not saying that because I turned down treatment, people should go running to their doctors and say, I'm not doing treatment because Marilyn didn't. Because 2 years later, or 4 years later, when I had the brain damage or the brain surgery, and then 2 years later after that, chemotherapy for two more brain metastases, I took the chemotherapy. That was for that time, and we can't go. It all has to be done with God in the spirit.
Amen.
It's not
Amen.
In the mind. It's
Amen.
In the spirit.
And that's why you said seek. You know, ask the Lord about this. That is perfect. That's awesome. Yes, yes. Go ahead.
And then, while you're working the plan, you start writing a life plan. What you're going to do on the other side of the crisis. so that you are seeing yourself on the other side of the crisis.
Yes.
So that you know, Jeremiah says that I have a plan and a purpose for you, says the Lord, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. So
Amen.
You got to get into that plan for the future, because this is a temporary thing. It's not a permanent thing.
Amen.
And so you're making a plan for the future, a strategic plan. And then surround yourself with positive support team, because you don't want naysayers. When Pat Boone's grandson fell through a skylight two stories down and hit the cement pavement, and he was totally in a coma. Mm-hmm. They said he'd never get out of it. He didn't let anybody in that room who wasn't speaking faith.
Amen. He sure did.
And because you cannot afford to have somebody say, well, you know, I have a friend who died of that, or, well, somebody tried that and they died. You don't need to hear that. All you need to hear is what the Word says, and not be moved by what you see, hear, or feel.
And that is so true, because even Jesus himself, when they told him that the girl had died, and he said, she sleepeth, and some of them kind of laughed. When he went in there, he put them out.
Yep,
he shut
exactly.
them out. So if Jesus had to do that, then that is a great example. You know, get the naysayers out of your life. You don't need anyone speaking negative into your life. If they can't stand and agree and believe, shut them out. Shut them out.
I still do that today. I have to clean house regularly of people in my life who came in looking like they were glowing, but then I find out that they're naysayers, and I have to let the Lord move them out of my life. Because,
Amen.
And I've been doing that, spiritual house cleaning, because you really cannot afford to have people around you like that.
Amen.
And I mean, that is so vital when you're dealing with any crisis, but it's also in our day-to-day lives. And then number 10, rehearse your victory. And it says in Psalm 107, rehearse his deeds with thanksgiving. And who rehearses a play or a musical song that without hopes of actually performing? So you rehearse his deeds with thanksgiving. You rehearse your victory. You see your victory. You rehearse it so that you're going to perform it. Because,
Amen.
Because that's what it is. It's not, I hope you're going to do it. Sir, this is what your word says. It says it here, you're not a man that you should lie, nor a man that you should change your mind. Have you not said it, and will you not do it? Thank you, sir. I believe. I receive it. I see it in my life. And you do that with health issues. You do that with financial issues. You even do that if you're looking for a husband. Sir, I thank you for the right man in my life. It's an attitude of praise and thanksgiving.
And I was going to say, this fire drill plan that you have can apply to any circumstance in your life.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about, like you said, health. You can apply it to anything. And you says, rehearse the victory. You says, rehearsing my victory kept my mind set on the solution and not the problem through many crises. It
Absolutely.
Also focuses thanksgiving and praise on the Most High God, your healer, your provider, your solution.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes,
I like
absolutely.
That. Because I was going to ask you what got you through it all, but that summed
it
up right now. Rehearsing
right
the victory, not the problem. Keeping your mind on what you want and not the way the situation is.
No.
And the Lord tells us to do that.
Yes,
and
this
is how you made it through. Marilyn, you are a walking miracle. You've gone through so many situations where people would have probably just gave up. But go ahead.
You know, and people that, you know, I tell them what I did and they say, well, that sounds too hard. But the Word says, I put before you life and death. And here's a hint, choose life. He even gives us the answer. You know, choose life. You have to choose life and do it.
And do it. That's it.
And do it.
And
you
that's
know, when
it.
When I was diagnosed, a few weeks after, a friend phoned me and she said, well, if you only have a year left to live, how are you going to live it? And I said, well, Kathy, I don't just have a year left to live, but if I did, I would live every day living and not dying. And if I did happen to die, then I would have died living and not dying. We don't want to die. We want to live.
We want to live. And that
every
is
day.
Just beautiful. Live every day to the fullest. Because even though some of us are walking in divine health, we don't know that the next breath that we take may be the last. And
absolutely.
I love what, just live each and every day to the fullest. Marilyn, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. But before we go, I want you to tell people how to reach you, about your website. And I know your website is called Inside the Healing Journey, but you're doing so much on that site. So give them the web address. Talk about a little bit about the book that you've coming out that's going to have all this wonderful information that you shared with us inside the book as well.
Well, Inside the Healing Journey is it's really been it's been a struggle, especially the last 20 years, because after the brain surgery, I dealt with extreme brain damage. And so what this is, when Dan Hill, a Canadian singer from the 70s, was diagnosed a few years ago with prostate cancer, he did the same thing every cancer patient does. They go to the bookstore to find a book about how somebody got healed. And it wasn't there 26 years ago, and it wasn't there 2 years ago when he was diagnosed. It's not in the Christian bookstores. It's not in the secular bookstores. And so this is my transparent account of not that I got healed and overcame, but how. Because Kenneth Copeland, he said that when he was first born again, and he'd go to church and he'd hear about faith, and he'd go and he'd be so frustrated because nobody would say, how do you do it, but they just talk about it. And that was my frustration with the healing, is that even if somebody had written something, it was always about, yes, that, but how did you do it? Tell me how to do it. And so that's what Inside the Healing Journey is. It's a basically a how-to manual of how to receive your healing. And every step that I did, from the diagnosis to being called healed, then dealing with a second primary, and the brain, and dealing with the climb up the mudslide of brain damage, it's a how-to manual, so that people can emulate it. And it's not a guarantee that that if they do it, that they will have the same results that I did, because every situation is different.
But I can
guarantee that if they do what I did, if they do happen to die, they will die living and not dying.
Amen. Amen.
So they go to www.insidethehealingjourney.com. Right now, basically all that's up there is where they can pre-order the book, and we have other kind fun things up there for them. And then as soon as the book is published, I will send them a copy.
That is great. Marilyn, thank you again. And for those that were listening, we were talking with Marilyn Vanderstay, and we were discussing Inside the Healing Journey, and she shared what she went through.
And they can go to the site and download a free copy of that fire drill report also.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, that's my book. I want to bless these people. I want to see people healed.
Amen.
I'm tired of listening to people with their situations and no solutions. I want to see people healed. That's what you and I agreed upon yesterday. We want to see people healed.
We want to see people healed. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you again, Marilyn. And this has been Sharon on Still Small Voice. And if you need to reach me, you can reach me at chosen1292@gmail.com or on the website Chosen One Ministries. This has been an awesome, awesome show today, and I pray that those that were listening were healed, blessed, and delivered. And until the next time, this is Sharon say, be still and keep listening for that still, small voice. The Lord is speaking. God bless you and have a great day.